This is an iHeartRadio New Zealand podcast.
We're all supposed to be in Sydney, and Macca, you're in Argentina?
Mate, we're just going to need the energy to lift a bit from you, eh?
Nice sunnies, mate.
I think you should get closer to the camera, Mark.
Yeah, I'm leaning in so I can hear it, even though I've got to hear myself.
That'll help you hear, eh, with your headphones in.
What do you think of the Ashes team for the first test?
It's going to be massive, and as you said, you've got Baz at the helm. What a bloke he is.
This is one of the top 10 rivalries in sport.
It's a hostile environment, but it's the type of environment you want to play in, you know.
What did you enjoy about the Italy's performance against Australia?
Oh, you know, I thought they played with a lot of passion, robustness.
We're on a time limit here. It's a Sunday here. I've got to go to church soon.
We do 12 shows and we go to Ibiza.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I do this show.
All right, welcome back to another week of Sports Cafe. I'm as surprised as you are that we've made it to another week. I'm Taylor Montoya, and with me in studio, we've got Connor Watson and Rick Salizzo. How do you pronounce your
You're
surname?
Italian.
Yeah, I know, but I'm plastic. Salizzo.
Salizzo.
Salizio.
Salizzo.
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 Okay, I'll like just pizza. Say that's Rick next to me as well. Coming down the line, we've got a very odd-looking Mark Ellis, who's repping some broken sunglasses, I believe, and the lovely Christian as well.
3D.
How are we, guys?
Good. Well, we're a little bit disconcerted because we're all supposed to be in Sydney. And Macca, you're in Argentina?
Yeah, it's an all-star rescue too, for Christ's sake. I don't even know why I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Drag me out of, you know, as you know, I'm a devout man, and you drag me out of my worship, my day of worship.
Mate, we're just going to need the energy to lift a bit from you, eh?
Nice sunnies, mate. They look good.
Mate, I don't care if you've only got one leg. You don't want to see my eyes.
Morpheus.
Yeah. Well, I can say that, Taylor, you're looking delightful this evening.
Thanks, mate. One of us has to.
Can you explain to us what you're doing in Argentina, Macca?
We have this sort of biannual or annual boys trip where we went from university, top 1% of it into heaps in the world, and we all put money in, and we end up somewhere, coming from Canada, from the UK, and Australia.
Best you don't talk in too long a sentences, mate.
Short answers, please.
Really? Should I thought I'd got that out, Connor?
No, doll. Well. No. Start strong and it fizzles out. Yeah.
Well, that'll be a bit like this show, I suspect. Yeah. I can't see you, and that really hurts me, Megan, because I'm...
Mate, I'm missing you next to me. I loved having you there last week. But
yeah, true. And we're building a delightful bond, and... Don't be afraid of it. It's only going to get stronger.
Can't take you seriously, mate.
Can we get past this? Who am I?
There you go, Lenny.
Okay. There you go. I'm warned you.
And where are you, Chris?
I'm on the Sunshine Coast up at home, mate. Just enjoying the last couple of days at home before I take off to Nepal.
Oh, that's right. And we've actually found out that the Kathmandu airport's not the scariest airport.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of hate in the DMs after that comment. Yeah, so I need to brush up on my geography. Not that I care, but whatever.
You need to brush up on your expertise around Nepalese airports.
And surname pronunciations, apparently,
So can we get on to some sport?
Good shout.
Hey, do you know what they're playing here tomorrow? Do you know what we're playing here tomorrow? Like, this is one of the top 10 rivalries in sport. It's La Boca versus River Plate. And they're playing at the La Boca, which is where Maradona cut his way. So you've got River Plate, who the lady does, and you've got La Boca, who the big college. And we're going to it.
Are you going to be away?
So don't all jump up and down, you.
Oh, mate, sounds great.
Are you going to wear your sunnies?
Yeah. Good enthusiasm. Thank you. Love the feedback.
What did you think of the All Blacks versus Scotland?
I was in bed, mate.
So you didn't watch it?
Well, I believe we won.
We won, yeah. It was a great effort by Scotland.
Scotland played better than us too. That's what I heard.
You actually made your debut against Scotland.
Yeah, well, the result there was never in doubt.
He played for the All Blacks. It's impressive. Good on you. That's great.
You sound surprised.
I do, because what happened?
How many games for the All Blacks, Macca?
Too few. eight tests. And that was back in the touring day where you did like the 3-month tour. So I had maybe 25 games.
I get a signed jersey off you, mate. That's impressive.
What do you think of the Ashes team for the first test?
I'm pretty happy with it. Obviously, our man, we spoke with Haydos last week, and our man, Matty Renshaw, didn't make the cut. But in saying that, it's still a strong side. The playing, you know, with Steve Smith, skipper, for the first test. And like, what do they say? It's the hardest job, the second hardest job in Australia is captaining after the Prime Minister.
I'm going to come over to you and just go shoot off partner.
Hey, Mark.
Just because you take your headphones off doesn't mean the mic's not recording, mate.
Yeah, we haven't stopped the show just because your headphones are out.
I can see his battery's getting low, so hopefully it just goes real low and runs out.
Amen to that. Okay, can I show you my special guest? Like, I mean, this is like probably the most special guest that we've had on the show. Rick.
Marco, we're on a time limit here. It's a Sunday here. I've got to go to church soon.
Anyhow, let me introduce you to the greatest sports cafe achiever of all time. Rick, you know the man. It's the one and only Human Cannibal.
It's been a long time. And thank you very much for inviting me back to the show. And the only thing I'd like to say to, you know, the wonderful team is I miss you so much. You're the most beautiful people in the world. And
hard and erect, hard and erect. And then
see, the Aussies haven't seen that, but effectively there was a moment when he was about to get fired out of the cannon. A huge amount of training goes into just stepping inside one of those tubular cannons. And he says when he heard the whip get lit and they shot him, that all he thought was harder it, and then and he came out and that was his gravy. That was his fly time. That's when, and sadly, because he knew fucking Australians, he wasn't allowed to open the Sydney Harbour, the Olympics in 2000 by going over the Harbour Bridge, which was his lifelong goal.
And also the Ashes is about to happen. And I was just asking Lenny whether he thought the English were underdone.
Cheers, Marco. Sorry, mate. Any input on the Ashes, mate, before you brought in anyway?
Thought on the Ashes. Mate, I tell you what, the only team that can beat Australia is the team that mentally can't own them. And that's why I love watching above any form of sport, India versus Australia in cricket. I don't think the Poms are up yet.
Yeah.
Although with McCullum there's a certain self-belief and an aggressive style of play, which you counter aggression with aggression, I think.
England played New Zealand in 3 ODIs just recently, and New Zealand towed them up. But in saying that, it's a different format, different country. I actually think the England boys were saving a lot of their time and their energy for this Ashes. It's going to be massive. And as you said, you got Baz at the helm, coach of England. What a bloke he is, one of the best, just behind yourself, Marco.
Do you know what a flapper is?
Flapper.
No. Yeah.
When a stallion makes love to a mare and you're paying a lot of money to ensure that transaction occurs the way that you wish, so the genetic proceeding and the appropriate sequence and order, they bring in like a mule or a donkey, and it services the mare insofar as gets her a little bit randy, and then comes in.
So that's New Zealand.
Yeah, that's what you're telling me, you know. I just wanted to draw the analogy so every Kiwi knew that you were being a bit of an arsehole.
Has anyone watched the documentary of Bonnie Blue, 1,000 Men and Me? Because a fluffer means something completely different.
Oh, no, indulge me, tell me.
But no, this is for horses.
Oh.
No, stop, I missed it. Start again.
I think you should get closer to the camera, Mark.
Yeah, I'm leaning in so I can hear it, even though I've got to hear myself.
That'll help you hear, eh, with your headphones in. Get closer to the mic.
Doesn't even work.
That, it only took 1 week, didn't it? You know, everything you get back twice.
Because I'm trying to, like, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm trying to do a sports show here. Because some big news this week is Cherry Evans signing for the Roosters. And we've got one of the Roosters here, Macca. Shut up.
It's obviously been a talking point for a very long time. Like, it sort of got to the point where you didn't actually know if it was going to happen, to be honest, because everyone said it was a done deal ages ago, but no one had announced it. And, I mean, yeah, to get a guy like that with so much experience, I think it'll definitely help us. We've got a lot of young halves. Like, you got Semi, Hugo there.
I mean, how do you feel if you're a young half and then they sign someone like this here? You know, it's like you sort of go, How do you react to something like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can like take it one of two ways. Obviously, you can kick stones and also, but at the time I felt like when they sort of were talking about signing Cherry Evans, like Hugo hadn't sort of played much first grade and then, you know, he started playing so well. But then there's the other like way you can look at it is like you get a guy who's come in, won a premiership, played for Australia, you know, captain the Maroons, won't judge him for that, eh, Linny? But, and then also, you know, like he comes in, like, and, you know, you can take that experience and learn from him. And, like, I don't know how long he's going to play. He signed a year deal with an option, so.
Connor, he's one of those boys that he doesn't get injured a lot, does he?
Nah.
He's on the park most of the time.
Honestly, I don't know how he's, like, he's been very durable through his career, eh? Like, he's, yeah, played pretty much every season, like, yeah, every most game, so.
And when you talk about young halves, it always gets me very excited because I always think of, people, like small people, wee people, little people. Like, you can't call them wolves anymore, but my God, I love them.
They just don't get caught. Well, they're not like wingers.
Well, I reckon we need to catch a whole heap of them and like a butterfly net and put them on the backs of Shetland ponies and make them joust each other.
What are you talking about?
Mate, he's talking about dwarf jousting, which is Mark's going to set up a
I thought you were talking about the Melbourne Cup last week.
Nah, dwarf jousting, which Mark thinks is a professional league.
To be fair, they're the best real estate agents. They walk into every house and they go, look at these beautiful high ceilings.
But, yeah, I think it would be good for us. I think his experience will help Sammy as well. And then, like, you know, Hugo's big in, like, he can play in other positions as well. So, you know, I don't think he's not going to be in and around the first grade team next year.
And also the Ashes rugby league. 3-0 to the Aussies.
Yeah, I didn't. I was in bed by the time the game was on, to be honest, mate.
Well, I watched it.
Yeah, how was it?
1:30 in the morning.
Yeah, preparing the show. I put a lot of work into the show.
You got to get a life.
was it the same scoreline as the second game?
Similar. England played really well, gave them everything. Australia just too good. Reece Walsh, two tries, you know. And then, they're just such a great team, I mean, to watch. And the reason I got up and watched it, Reece Walsh. You know, every time he plays, something's going to happen. And that's something that's pretty special is to have a player that makes you turn the television on at 1:30 in the morning. We did ask our audience, both of them, we asked them to suggest something from our old show to give you guys an idea of what you're up for. I think you're getting a pretty quick idea with two shows with Macca, but we sort of mentioned this a little bit last week, but this is what happened when Mark decided to introduce himself into the America's Cup.
Team Bulgaria fleet. Here we go.
There she is, mate. Stealth and reconnaissance. Look at it.
Oh, come here, bugger.
Nice colour.
That's pathetic applause. This is Team Bulgaria. Oh, you're cheering for Eva.
That's essentially what we're after. It's a pride and glory. And we've got to make sure of one thing. Dennis Connors doesn't get his filthy mitts upon it. We'll do that. We'll
I reckon you've aged like a fine wine, Macca. Grace suits you, mate.
Where are the Sunnies?
Tonight, police and the minister in charge of the cup are calling for an end to media stunts after a TV crew was found inside a Challengers compound.
Show host, former All Black Mark Ellis and two companions raided the base of Cup Challenger America True. This from the Deputy Police Commissioner.
Very, very foolish.
Oh, you met Nick Gogo. Nito da badinar mastekas.
We have embarrassed our country and our campaign.
Nika de goditat borat. Dan is najavat me logata stevit podnara neharbo.
And now it is time for those responsible to step forward and take their punishment like men. Ralphie.
If we shouldn't eat again, who's going to be ours? Who's going to be our lady?
Well, we actually, in all seriousness, we got into quite a lot of trouble and we got America True were going to sue us. And so the deal we did with them was that we would do a public apology, and that was the public apology.
The Prime Minister was in on it. It was heavy stuff. And if they'd looked at the footage, the gimp, he was rolling around in the sheets, and he was perforating the sails on America. registered his boat.
Yeah, we don't about that. We don't say that.
Well, he may not have.
Yeah, that saved it. he may not have. Remember. We're okay. Hey, there's been a massive, there's been a big event on in Sydney this weekend. Been a couple, actually. Oasis, you went to Oasis?
Yeah, I was there last night.
Yeah.
You're actually looking a bit like Liam before with the sunnies on, mate, to be honest.
It's a lovemaking night, isn't it? I mean, you don't take your lady to, I don't wish any crats, but hence the word lovemaking as opposed to something more primal. But on a night like that, if you've spent big money on a night like that, and glass of wine, bottle of bubbly, you're making love.
Thank you. Are you an Oasis person?
No, I just know Wonderwall. That's it. I can't get around the hype.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't understand it.
You just know about serial killers and shit like that, eh?
Exactly. Which I love. Now that I'd watch.
We've got to dig deeper
on
that.
If Ted Bundy was out here, she'd be there.
Oh, yeah. But Bundy was a charmer. Yeah, he couldn't sing.
He was, apparently.
Cut you into a nice little glove puppet.
Yeah, what's the band that would get you excited?
Not really like a band, but like The Weeknd. I love The Weeknd. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Fred Again?
Oh, no, I didn't go to that.
I did. I went to Fred Again.
Yeah.
He was good as well.
My man. But I'm starting to like you a lot.
And you're a bit of a DJ boy, Lenny.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Fisher's the man. He played at Melbourne yesterday after the races.
Yeah, I saw that.
He just had his 40th birthday in Bali. And
is he a cobber of yours? He's in residence in Peter.
Yeah. He was at Universe. I went and saw him. Well, over the summer in Europe, it was, right up your alley, Mark. Let's put it that way.
I do think that there's a calling for a trip maybe to Ibiza, PR.
How about if we make a dozen shows, we celebrate? Let's get to a dozen shows.
We do 12 shows and we go to Ibiza.
Yeah.
Sold.
No. I was also saying that another big event on this weekend has been the Pacific Nations Championship between New Zealand and Samoa. And so I went out to watch it because I love it.
Atmosphere, amazing, brother. Manu Samoa, Tō Samoa, all day, brother, all day. Next one.
Atmosphere was crazy, bro. No matter where, it probably didn't matter where you sat in the stadium, you were smothered in Samoan. You were literally smothered in Samoan. We couldn't breathe without saying something Samoan. It was crazy. It was good.
Yeah, but you won. Good.
I loved it. We won. The Kiwis. At the beginning, we thought that was it. They were going to beat us. But, hey, true Kiwi heart, we got it.
Yeah, our team lost, but, I mean, if you ask, I mean, seriously, Kiwis, eight of their players were Samoans. One Māori scored a try. The rest was Samoans. True? That's all I've got to say, man. Next one.
We won. The Kiwis. Absolutely.
And obviously, Taylor's pretty excited this weekend past because of Italy beating Australia in the rugby.
Huge news.
Did you get up and watch it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, gotcha. No, do I look like I do? No.
What did you enjoy about the Italy's performance against Australia?
Oh, you know, I thought they played with a lot of passion, robustness. I don't know. It's just nice to see the Italians on the up.
Wrong question, Rex. What did you do to celebrate?
Yeah, I hung the Italian flag up in the front yard.
Had some pizza.
Aperol spritz, like you, Macca. I love an Aperol spritz. That's my drink of choice.
See, it's a bonding session. This is what's happening here.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're doing a bonding session.
Love it.
That's what we should do. We should go for a few. We'll go for a bonding session, mate. Have a few beers.
What do you think last week was?
Oh, that was just Macca. That was Macca's bonding session just by himself.
He's well bonded.
I love you guys. This is great. The moment we can actually drop our guard and leave, that's good. Then that's when we make Rick's job real and hard. And that's the only reason I do this show.
Are we actually going to have a sports cafe Christmas party?
We're talking about rap parties and Christmas parties. Can we get a show done?
Can you organise it?
Yeah, I'll organise it.
All right. If you organise it. Well, Magnum, yeah, you know, does the dress code. And then he's on music, that's bloody done.
Easy does it, mate.
Good vibes all around.
Look, I'm trying to bring it back to sports. We've had some great guests on the show over time. Mackie, you're not one of them. And one of our favourites is one of your legends. So we were lucky enough to have the late, great Dean Jones and the legend of his Merv Hughes. And Macca had one question for them.
David Boone, 53 cans from here to England. I mean, we can't go without talking about it. I mean, it's a mighty effort. Can it be beaten?
No, not now.
I think Hadley tried it. He got to 7.
Mark had to go on the tram coming down here. Got the 3.
Then vomited all over the people in front of me.
Yeah. They call themselves the best team in the world, the Australians, at the moment. They haven't even tried that record yet.
Yeah. Where's the team spirit?
It's hopeless. It was actually the Qantas staff that how it worked it out. We're just having a quiet drink at the start. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, the flight service director said,
"Hey, let's get
do you know you've had 24 cans, Booney? And maybe if we have a roster system and work from there, Merv, you should have 2 dozen with him and Dino have a few and 53 cans
later." It's a mighty effort. I mean, that will live longer than the game itself.
Well, probably the thing that people don't understand, before we got onto the plane, we had a training session. Remember the training camp we had in Melbourne?
Yeah.
And they took blood tests and all that, and the doctor came back and gave us a cholesterol and all the crap that comes back with blood tests. And then he came out and said, and probably the most alarming feature is that 16 of the 17 men in this squad have got enough alcohol in their system, in their blood, to say that there's 16 alcoholics in the Australian cricket team. And Terry Alderman stood up the back and said, "That is an alarming fact. Who is the one bloke that's not having a go?"
And that's why we love Australia. That's why we love Australia. Never change that attitude, please, please.
Are those days gone, Mark?
No, they ought not be.
Yeah, I agree.
You've been around cricket a long time. How different is cricketers now to Merv Hughes?
Your schedule doesn't allow you to go out and have the big nights that you used to, but, you know, there's still a time and place for it. I believe the reason why you sing the team song when you win, that's why you play the game, right? So you don't want to go, you know, off record too far.
What is the team song? What's the team song?
Depends what team you play for.
How many do you play for, Lenny?
Mate, every time I get introduced at a luncheon, they read out my Wikipedia page and there's like 28 teams.
What a slap.
Heaps, yeah.
I was waiting pretty for much. That.
But cash is king, right?
100%, mate.
And that's what I always say. I want today's money, but like your era, Mark, where there's no phones and all that carry on. So,
how many teams have you played for?
I played for 2. Yeah. Roosters and the Knights, and then the Roosters again.
Because obviously all the chat in the media now is about changing contracts, R360, who's going to go here. I mean, is that a distraction to you as a player? Like, there's all that stuff going on?
Like, from what point of view, Rick?
Well, you know, as you're getting your team ready, you don't know who's going to be in the team. There's all... No?
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, rugby league, it's like a soap opera, you know? There's just always drama. It's always something in the news cycle. So it's something that you're used to, you know, whether it's people looking at going to other teams. Like, you know, they're talking about, you got PNG coming in, North Sydney. Like, it's even... In rugby league in the next couple of years, there's just going to be more chat about people moving because there's 2 more clubs coming in. So it's not a distraction. I think it just comes with the territory. Just going to try and...
Connor, what about the 10-year ban? What's your thoughts on all that?
Like, I can understand, you know, sort of they're trying to not let the game be tarnished by people leaving and all that stuff. But one thing about rugby league is there's always the next... kid, the next, you know, there's so much talent in this country.
Yeah.
And just every time you see, like, you even look at our team this year, for example, we had Joey Manu leave and go to rugby union. You had Joey Suoli go to rugby union as well. Then what happens? Like, we get Mark and then Rob Toya comes in and he plays for Origin. He's playing for Tonga. Like,
yeah.
That's one thing about this game is it just keeps producing talents. But I guess, like, what they're saying is if some of the top guys leave, it might, you know, impact it a little bit. But, you know, it'll just keep guys will just keep coming up. They'll make the next superstar. The media will fall in love with someone else. It'll happen.
Yeah, nice. I like it.
Two toughest dudes in the league, in my opinion. You've got Ian Roberts and you've got Gordon Pellis. Now, if you stuck them in an octagon, who would come out?
Gordy.
He's my scary guy. I played against him. I played against Tate with both of them, but they were both terrifying in a different way.
Mate, it's a tough one. I was at a bar one day after we had our captain's run, our top-up session, and Gordy's at the bar and I leg-kicked him. I hit him straight in, like, what is it, the ITB on the side, and I dropped him.
You must be a good guy on the piss. I like you.
He waited 2 hours to get me back. I was sitting on a high chair and he got his knee and just went bang straight into the side of my leg. And I was like, I was Googling, can you die from a cork? He hit me that hard. And then I did play the next day. So I walked in with this massive bruise and I told the physio that a horse kicked me when I was down at the stables. But it was, yeah, good, the raging bull.
We have asked, so you're going Ian Roberts?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. He just seemed like he was crazy when he played. I mean, they were both crazy. But yeah.
Ian Roberts is a good actor as well. He's been in...
As a physical specimen, Ian Roberts is the finest physical specimen. But Palace just had...
Yeah,
he got born into a
switching size. We have asked our...
great response.
We have asked our audience also to tell us their favourite sporting experience to go to in Australia. And this is one of the responses we got.
So I think my favourite Aussie sporting event has to be New South Wales versus Queensland, State of Origin in Brisbane. The whole state get behind the Queenslanders. You cop heaps as a New South Wales fan from as soon as you get off the plane until you're boarding. The football's intense. The crowd are right into it. So I think for me, that is the best Aussie sporting event.
We'll go to you, Lenny. You've obviously been to a game of a State of Origin Brisbane.
Yeah, been to a couple. Been to one where Queensland have won deciders. Been to ones where Queensland have lost deciders. So been on both ends, and it's actually amazing to see Caxton Street post game if Queensland lose. It's like a ghost town.
Quiet.
Yeah, kicking tins all over the place. But it's going to be interesting now that Uncle Nick's bought the Caxton.
But what about you from a New South Wales point of view when you're up there in enemy territory? How important is it to silence those people?
Yeah, I mean, like it's great. It's, you know, you go, like, it's a hostile environment, but it's the type of environment you want to play in, you know. Like, it's loud, you know, everyone hates you. You just want to prove everyone wrong. Like, yeah, it's great, you know, and sort of the last 2 years, like, we've played pretty well every time we've gone up to Brisbane as well. But, yeah, you just, like, you walk around the streets, everyone's in Queensland jerseys, barely any Blues fans, but, yeah, it's good fun, really.
Are you more accustomed to playing at Suncorp now because you're playing more games there?
Yeah, like, we play there heaps, eh? Like, you know, you got Magic Rounds, Brisbane, versus the Dolphins. Yeah, I probably played, like, 5 games at Suncorp this year, to be honest, mate. So, it's obviously a different environment when you're playing in that Origin one, because it's so hostile where you're playing club footy there, or Magic Round, you could verse anyone, you know. So it's not really the same. Yeah. It's a bit more of like a party vibe. But yeah, I just remember talking to Boyd Cordner before the decider last year, game 3, and he's just like, mate, you, like, the way you'll feel when you run out, like, you'll never feel... experience a feeling like it. And it was like, yeah, dead set that. I couldn't remember what happened for like the first 10 minutes. I was just like, yeah, that much adrenaline. But
eyes are spinning.
And then I actually this year was so funny, you know, they made Spencer public enemy number one, and he was on the bench, me and Hudson on the bench, and Spencer, we go to sit down. Spencer's like, what are you doing? Let's go for a run. And then we're like, righto. And then he just starts running. And then the crowd are just booing him. He's just fucking telling them all to get there.
Mate, there's one bloke I wouldn't want to fight.
Nah, but he just, like, I've never seen someone lean into that villain role so much. Like, and he loved it. And, you know, like, he thrives off that energy. But, mate, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, was just the whole crowd standing up, giving him the finger, and he's just standing there just giving it back to everyone.
it's a game that, like, even if you're not a diehard, you can't, like, you must love State of Origin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you? Come
I'll
on.
Watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on a bit late, actually.
What's your number one sport, Taylor?
Number one sport to watch or play?
Yeah, Andrew Hamilton.
Yeah.
You do love a bit of Formula One, don't you?
Yeah. I like Drive to Survive on Netflix.
What woman in the world doesn't like Formula One? I mean, we've all played sport, but, you know, we walk into a bar and a Formula One driver walks in, you're toast.
Mate, you're toast anyway.
The other thing that really offends me, Rick, is that you're talking about State of Origin and you didn't ask me. I played it.
You played in the Super League version where New Zealand was part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And we beat Queensland. We beat Queensland in Canberra, and with a late try, and it was disallowed. And that's what I'm saying. Bloody Aussies, mate. Like, the try was legit. John Hoppy caught it, put it down. Last minute of the game, there might have been somebody in front of the keeper. Nonsensical.
Yeah, but look, without being harsh, I'm not sure whether Canberra is regarded as one of the hotbeds of State of Origin football.
No, you moron. You weren't listening. Right?
I was.
I think he pronounced it Canberra.
It was, we played it in Canberra, and if we beat Queensland, we got into the final against New South Wales.
You are certainly one of the State of Origin greats, and I'm sorry that I didn't refer to you as such. Look, another person with an opinion on State of Origin and that special rivalry, the guru of the show, Chirma Bro.
What is the Queensland-New South Wales rivalry? Mate against mate, state against state. I thought I knew plenty about it until I moved here 10 years ago. I've only been here 10 years, so I'm just a pup, a mere zygote, if you will. Yeah, this goes deeper than Origin here. They say the rivalry actually dates back to when Queensland separated from New South Wales as a self-governing colony in 1859. I just read that on Wikipedia. It's like an unspoken thing, bro. It's that deep. And that's why, from me, outsider's point of view, it's not something I really understand, bro. Get this jacket off, bro. It's going troppo. And hotter than a shearer's armpit. So hot the chooks are laying boiled eggs.
It's funny because a lot of Kiwis go for New South Wales, for Queensland, because they see themselves as the outsiders, and so they go. And back in the day, Graham Lowe used to coach Queensland, so a lot of Kiwis do go there. I sort of depend on who's next to me. Like, I'm a New South Wales fan at the moment. But as soon as Linny's here, I'm going to Queensland.
Well, that's fake, Rick.
Is it?
You're two-faced.
Yeah, like you are with Italians.
Yeah, true.
Can you mute Macca again?
Macca, are you back? Macca. Wow. This is the end of the show.
Just sitting here at half time, LeBlanca versus. We're playing a lady goes, LeBlanca, the real people. LeBlanca's running, we're wearing blue and yellow, LeBlanca's colours. But I've never been to a sporting event like it, and I just thought it was worthwhile saying something sort of semi-serious. The world's heavy, there's a lot of tough things. There's mortgages to pay, there's jobs to do, there's families to raise. And sport offers the everything. It offers something much similar as arts and culture does. Something you can cling to, something that lifts your spirit, something that gives you an endorphin release in this circumstance. Something that you can belong to. So I know there's 101 things in this world of importance. You know, sport's way down the list, but it's something that people unify behind, and you see at this magnitude and in this circumstance and how much it means to even a lot of whom have been in terms of material things, just pause for thought. So I thought I'd record it. Also, I've been a fool on the first 2 days, so I thought I'd say something to you.